Welcome to the second season of Pop Your Cultural Cherry. My name is Lawin and I am your host. In this podcast, we'll cover topics about cultural experiences and life hacks into integrating in Europe, encompassing topics such as student, career, or personal life. So join me as I pick up something new from other people's inspiring stories. Welcome back, everyone, to Pop Your Cultural Cherry. For today's episode, we have Anne. She calls herself Anne, but in Vietnamese, it's Ang, something like that, something similar. So I met Ang. I just, you know, was looking at YouTube. I saw some of her videos there, probably because I search, you know, what people do in Germany, what other foreigners do. So it's kind of suggested to me on my feed. She did her bachelor in the U.S. So she comes from Hanoi, went over to the U.S., did her master's in Germany. And yeah, now she lives in Nuremberg. What she's doing right now is not related to what she studied. So today we're going to talk a bit about, you know, her experience coming from Vietnam, from the US to Germany, studying something, then doing something a bit different or actually totally different. Ang, thank you so much for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you. So yeah, my name is Anne, or you can also call me Ang, as in Vietnamese. So just like, can call me whatever. And I come from Vietnam, and I'm currently working as a software developer in a tech company here in Germany. And yeah, this is my first time ever being on a podcast. So thank you so much for having me today.
I mean, the whole point of your YouTube channel is also kind of sharing your experience. And the thing about YouTube is you kind of limit what you say because the video becomes too long or whatever. And the nice thing about, you know, expressing yourself in a podcast is you can go actually deeper into the topics that you like to discuss. So yeah, so cool thing, you came from Hanoi, such a beautiful city, one of my favorite cities in the world. And people who've been listening to my podcast know about my fascination and my history with Vietnam. And then you went to the U.S. I think you mentioned Minnesota,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, Minnesota.
To a cold place. And now you're in a cool city in Nuremberg, which is actually, I mean, the city itself is pretty cool. But there are a lot of other cities around it that makes like that whole region very, very interesting and full of like German history. So yeah, so maybe you can tell us about, you know, your journey from Hanoi. You went to the U.S., then you came to Germany.
Yeah. So I was born and raised in Hanoi. I think when I was 16 or 17, my mom was like, okay, we sent you to this summer camp to learn English. Because back then, you know, I'm a kid, so I don't really care about going abroad. Like, it's not even an idea for me. It's all come from my mom. And then my mom was like, okay, I'm sending you to a summer camp for 3 months to learn English in the US. And then I just went, and I really liked living there, like the life there, and I made friends there and learned the language. And yeah, and then I wanted to go back. So when I finished high school, I was like, okay, I wanted to go to a college in the US. So I applied and then eventually got accepted to this one school, like small school in Minnesota. There's only 2,000 kids at this tiny school. Yeah, so that's how I went to US to study.
That's really amazing that you did a 3 month, was it English boot camp?
Yeah,
I guess.
Summer camp, yeah.
But yeah, so prior to that, how was your English in Vietnam? Because English is only like used for people who are like in the foreign, like in the area in the city center where there are lots of foreigners. Other than that, like English is not really, like everything's in Vietnamese, of course, right?
Yeah, so yeah, everything else is everything's Vietnamese. I think it was because when I was at school, the only course that I excel in or don't have a bad grade is in English. So my parents were like, okay, maybe this girl has some, you know, some skills in learning languages. So they sent me to, yeah, English summer camp. But yeah, so I was pretty bad at school when I was in middle school. So I didn't excel at school at all.
Which state did you first kind of like enter? Where did you do your boot camp? Do you still remember?
Yeah, it was in, I think it was in Rhode Island University. So it's in the
East
Coast.
East, right?
Yeah. And then we had some trip to along the coast. So like to Boston and then to New Hampshire. So we did also like not just sitting in the classroom and study English, but also like explore around the city.
And that's one thing I noticed also in Vietnam, like a lot of parents really invest in their children's future. Like you really make sure your kids kind of study abroad. They do their bachelor's abroad, which is not very common in the Philippines. Like maybe you do your master's abroad, but your bachelor's, you always do it at home. Maybe it's some sort of way for the parents to also like control you. You know, but like in Vietnam, like, okay, you know, you're good in English. Like, let's send you to the US. And you're what, 17, 18? And then you're like on your own. Like, yeah. That's pretty tough, you know?
Yeah, that was very scary now that I think of it. Yeah. Yeah, it was, I mean, it was also, I guess, like, I was very lucky as well to have this, you know, opportunity to be able to like go abroad at such a young age and got exposed to, you know, different cultures and like ways of living. So that's when like I have this passion for moving abroad or like living in different countries just to like try it out.
So you finish your bachelor's in Minnesota in the US, and then kind of why didn't you want to like stay longer in the US?
Yeah, so after I graduated, I went back to Vietnam. I mean, partially is because I mean, at that point, I'd been living in US for like 4 years. And yeah, I just wanted a change of scene. At the same time, I didn't get any job offer. So I figure it's like a good time to say goodbye. And then I went back home, did an internship in the South in Ho Chi Minh City. And then, and then I was like, okay, I still wanted to go abroad. And at that time, I was dating a German guy. So, so he sparked like my interest in Germany. And I mean, the relationship didn't work out, but I'm glad that I came anyway.
I don't know how the job market is in the US, but I guess it's pretty competitive as well.
I think it was 2016, so it was, I mean, the market is still like, the economy is still going well, and it was Obama administration, so it's still okay. But I guess it's because of the bachelor degree, like, you know, I feel like a lot of people have more chances of getting a job if they study also the master degree in the US, but that would be like too expensive for me. So I like, okay.
And then it's funny that you went back to Vietnam, but you didn't go back to Hanoi, but rather to Saigon. And I know there's some kind of like rivalry in Vietnam between these two cities. I don't really understand it. Like Hanoi is the beautiful old looking capital, and Ho Chi Minh City is like where all the businesses, where all the, like, I don't know, you see more people flashing their wealth there. The nightlife is better, but I'd say like I'm a bit biased because I stayed in Hanoi, and I'd say like the culturally, like, Hanoi is more, I don't know, pleasant.
The two cities are very different. Very different vibes. I don't know, I think it just like, I don't know, I was born and raised in Hanoi, so I've been living in Hanoi for like what, like 20 years. So I just wanted to like, you know, have some change. And also I feel like I've been abroad, like in US, like here and there, like different cities, but I actually haven't like explored my own city, you know, like lived there and like experienced like life there. Yeah, so that's what I wanted to do.
And it does make sense because you were really young when you went to the US and you went back. So like it makes sense that you want to go back and kind of like really understand your identity. Maybe it's like, I'm Vietnamese, but like I'm living, I'm like a big chunk of my life in the US.
Yeah.
So maybe that's
true. Reason. Gonna have identity crisis soon.
Am I Vietnamese or am I like American? And now you make it even more complicated because you throw in the German. Yeah. And the funny part is like I thought you moved to Germany for a master's. So that was one of the reasons, but apparently there's a guy involved. That makes this whole episode a lot more interesting. Okay. So what do your parents say? Like you say, okay, I just got back, I do an internship, now I want to go to Germany. Do you tell them about a guy, or is it just I want to do my master's in Germany?
No, they know that I was dating a German guy. I think when I left for the US, they kind of, okay, she's going to do whatever she's going to do, because I'm so far away for them to like be able to control what I have. So I guess at that point, they kind of give up. So then I get to do whatever I want. So then I was dating this one guy, and my family is actually very supportive of me moving abroad, or like, you know, living abroad. So that was very, I'm very grateful for that. Yeah, so they were very like supportive of the idea. Even like my mom, she encouraged me to go. And she's like, yeah, just go, you know, like she liked that idea better than I stayed and work and live in Ho Chi Minh City, actually. I don't know why, but she's like, yeah, just go.
It's the rivalry. I think it's the rivalry.
So she liked that. So she's like, okay, you better go really far away from me rather than living in Ho Chi Minh City.
So when you like started thinking about doing the master's, was Germany like your top choice, or was it solely because of the guy? I'm pretty sure you wanted to do your master's, but were you also considering like other places in the world?
No.
No, only Germany. Okay.
Yeah, only Germany.
Okay.
I guess I was in love, so I don't know.
Wow.
I don't know.
Young love.
Young love, yeah, exactly. Young love. And also when I was in US, I took some German courses, and also my like the German professor was like, oh, you know, Germany, such a promised land, you can do this, you can do that, you should go to Berlin, la la la. And I'm like, I got sold on Germany.
Wow.
No.
So it was because of the US trip that actually added that extra, romantic idea of Germany.
Yeah.
Tell us about how the process was in terms of like applying for schools, getting your papers ready compared to the US. Was it a lot harder? Was it, about the same kind of effort?
I think the process of applying for school is kind of similar, I think.
Okay.
Yeah. And so you just send in your application and you just wait. Or for acceptance letter. And so that part is kind of okay. I think the visa process for a student visa in Germany is slower. So I had to wait like 2 months for my German student visa, for my student visa in Germany, compared to US, like I didn't have to wait that long. So yeah, but once you got the visa, it's good to go. And also you have to demonstrate like that you are, you have all the finance to support yourself, to pay for yourself when you study in these countries. And I think the US way of proof that you have enough money, or like you're financially stable to support your study, is easier. Because, you know, like in Germany, you need to have a block account. So you have to put like money in your account for like each semester. So for example, a semester, I think you have to put in like 8,000. I don't remember exactly, but like, I think 1,000 euros a month. So you have, for a semester, you need like a 8,000 euros sitting in a bank account. So you have to have that kind of liquidity, like that kind of cash sitting in your bank account. US, you don't need to do that. You need to like, you know, show your bank statements, or like maybe some real estate or like properties that you own, and they take that as, you know, your proof that you can pay for your study and pay for your living there.
Maybe it's because the tuition is a lot higher in the US.
Yeah, could be. I think Germany, they want to be sure, like they want to see the cash in the bank account.
Yeah.
So
in terms of like the education, like the teaching style, was it very different, or was it similar to the US?
Yeah, it was very different, I think. Because I think partially is because I went to a private college in the US. So the student to teacher ratio is very small. So like we would have 10 to 15 kids per class, as opposed to here in Germany, or like maybe it's just my program, but there's like a large numbers of students per class. So it's most of the time it's like lecture based. So you just go into the class and you sit down and you listen to the professor and like note down stuff. So it's pretty boring if you have a lecture based course. So as opposed to like in US, you have small classrooms, so you'd be able to discuss more, you'd be able to like voice your opinions more, the teacher like pay attention to you more, things like that. So yeah. But there's also like project based in Germany, in the courses that I take in Germany as well. So those are fun. So those you can work on project with your team. But most of the time is for me, it was lecture. So it wasn't, I didn't like it that much. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think, again, I think that has something to do with the tuition fee. So you have like a bigger ratio between like one professor to X number of students. While in the US, like that ratio is probably smaller. I mean, I'm just guessing, and this just based on what I hear, but could be.
Yeah. And also I feel like I'm very sheltered from the real life when I was in college in the US, because we also have a cafeteria, so we didn't have to cook for ourselves. We have people to clean for our rooms. So like just a common area, but still. So those also like add up the cost of like studying.
And then maybe you can tell us about, you know, so now you're in Germany. I don't know, maybe you're still with your boyfriend, that ex-boyfriend.
No, we broke up even before I came to Germany.
Oh, okay. So you come to Germany, you arrive in Germany, you're no longer with your ex-boyfriend, right? Then you start your studies, you finish your studies. And then maybe you can tell us a little bit about, you know, that whole job, you know, searching for a job. And the nice thing about Germany, because I did my master's in the Netherlands and we have the same system, is you get like a visa to look for a job, right? Like a year, or I think in Germany, it's even a year and a half.
Yeah.
And then maybe you can tell us about, you know, you had this time when you were looking for a job, and then what happened during that time? Did that kind of time affect your decision to switch careers, or is that just something you just wanted to do?
Yeah. So when I graduated from my master program, I was looking for jobs, and luckily I got hired by Puma. So, you know, the sporting, the sport clothing company. Yeah. So I was already working as a working student there at that team, and they decided to like keep me after I graduated. So that was very nice, and I was very lucky to get that job too. And because it's very competitive in fashion, right? Yeah, so it was like marketing. So I was working in marketing for Puma for like a year. And then in this job, I got to work in several projects that are like web and app development. So we were like developing apps and web banners, campaign banners for Puma. And in this role, like I've decided that, okay, I really want to go into tech because it's really interesting for me. So at that point I decided to like, okay, I want to get a job or like switch my career into more technology. And then I was asking around in my, you know, friend circle. And luckily, a friend of mine, he was working for my current company, and he got me the interview with a boss, managers. And they were willing to hire me and like train me to become a software developer, even though I like didn't have any experience or, you know, like before. So that's very lucky. I'm very lucky to get that job. Yeah.
So you didn't need to do any like side courses or short courses?
I mean, I did learn HTML and CSS, so I was able to like in that interview I was able to say like, oh, you know, I did learn HTML and CSS, so that's kind of show them like my, you know, willingness to learn and also like my determination. So it's like, so it doesn't matter if they gonna give me the job or not. I told them like, it doesn't matter if I get this job or not, I just still learn, and I will keep applying until I got into tech. So I think they were impressed by that. So yeah.
I mean, it is pretty impressive. And what's more impressive to me is that the fact that you already had a job in a very well-known company like Puma, and then to have the courage to switch careers when you already have a very good job, that takes some guts. That's very impressive. And normally, like, I hear people, you know, they switch careers because they can't find a job and maybe the you know what they finished. So I know a few, one or two people who had to do this, and they became, you know, they switched to tech, they became developers because they couldn't find, or they couldn't get that growth potential that you could get as a software developer.
Yeah, thank you. it was a very difficult decision as well, because there is a lot of perks working in fashion, right? So we have a lot of free clothes, shoes, and then you get to like travel around a lot. And I made a lot of friends at Puma, so it was a very hard decision, but at the end, it I think it was worth it. Yeah.
and so far, no regrets.
No regrets. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what was like your first step to actually switching? What was that first step? Was it the short courses that you took, or was it just maybe your mindset of being kind of very interested in the technology industry?
Yeah, I think it was my mindset, because I was working on like project of developing apps and website and things like that. So that was like something fascinating for me. That's when I think I decided to like, okay, I don't want to be in fashion anymore. I want to go into tech now. Yeah, I guess I kind of really shop around a lot for like what I want to do.
You know what's interesting is that you moved from a very kind of like, I'd say based on how I see it in my experience, it's like a very female kind of dominated industry / job role. Of like being marketing and in a fashion company. Like I'm assuming that most of your colleagues back then were female, and then you now change to a tech company where you're a software developer, where the stereotype is that it's like a male dominated industry. So how's that feeling now, like in terms of like your social, the environment, how different is it?
Yeah, you're very right. You're very correct. Like before in Puma, most of the people working there are female. So yeah, I'm surrounded by female colleagues, and now I'm the only female employee in my team. So it's a very drastic change for sure. Yeah, it's sometimes I miss having like, some female colleagues around. But you're very right that if you think about software developer, like an image that you associate with is like this, like a guy, right? Like a very, maybe like a very nerdy, shy, or like socially awkward guy. But I think that is changing now. Because I also follow a lot of like YouTubers who also developers, and they are like there's so many different types or like different developers image out there. So it can be like a cool guy with like lots of like the latest tech gadgets, or like a girl who's like working in UX UI and also front end developer, and she's like all about aesthetics. So like the desk setup is a dream, and so there's so many kinds of developers out there, and I feel like this kind of image of this shy and socially awkward guy is kind of changing nowadays. Yeah, so that's nice.
that's reassuring to hear.
Yeah,
because I also work in a tech company, and that stereotype I'd say would fit majority of the people, unfortunately.
Yeah.
and that's also what I hear from other people in their companies, like
the
age is a lot higher, and mostly guys as well.
It's a shame. Yeah, but hopefully it's changing soon.
I mean, they'll need new blood to keep the companies running. So how easy would you say is it to find a tech related job in Germany?
I mean, I'd say it's fairly easy, but again, I'm very lucky. So, I think for tech industry, there's the demand is much higher than the supply, right, of the developers. So the company is always looking for new developers, and they are willing to even train them at the beginning to, and hopefully they stay with the company, to work as a developer. So I think, it's extremely easy, even if you already have a degree in computer science, right? So if you finish the degree, and I don't think young people who just have this degree, they have problem finding a job. at all. Like, I don't think, yeah.
I have this impression as well that it's really easy to switch. I mean, if companies, you're not the first person I know that, you know, you're hired with no experience and then they train you, they pay you a full-time salary to learn how to be a software engineer on the job. Like, this concept is kind of like, a lot for a lot of people, it's maybe it's hard to understand, but it actually happens in Germany because of the lack of supply of people interested in the field. And, you know, you always hear a lot of people from abroad, they hire people from abroad, they get people with no experience, train them to be a developer in the future. But yeah, that's really cool. And that's something I really applaud German companies for. And, you know, they're really open to hiring other people, different types of people. Do you think your degree or the degrees that you have both in the US and in Germany still help you to this day in your day-to-day job, or, you know, you just as a person?
I don't think it have like direct, you know, impact on my day-to-day job, but I think it's more like all the like both the degrees together help me realize that, you know, it's how to learn, you know. So because as a developer you keep learning on the job. Like every day you learn new things. So it's like, it's your job to learn how to do things and then do it. Yeah. Right. So that's your job. And so both of these degrees, even though they don't directly like impact on my day-to-day job because I didn't learn computer science. So I think, but it still like help with my soft skills or like my ability to pick up new things quickly.
Cool. Cool. Yeah, I guess we're at the tail end of our episode. Maybe before we end, maybe you can just, you know, what's your suggestion to, you know, the younger generation of whatever, some young girls growing up in Vietnam who have their whole career in front of them, in Hanoi specifically, and maybe they want to come to Germany. What kind of like advice would you want to give them?
I don't know. I'm very impressed by, you know, younger Vietnamese generations. I think they're like very creative and they're very like aware of themselves, like their identities and everything. If I can say anything, like give a suggestion, then that'd be learn to code. You know, it's like it's just like another language, right? Learning to code is just basically the, you know, second English, for example. And I already know that young Vietnamese people, it's very common or is very important for them to learn English. So they already do that. And so, yeah, just think of learning to code is just another language. Just pick it up, because I feel like learning to code, knowing how to code, opens a lot of doors. Whether or not you decide to become a developer later on, is still useful.
Definitely agree with that. Even as long as you work in the tech space, you know, even if you're not coding directly, your knowledge of the code itself like would already enable you to understand a lot of what's going on that normally you'd have like no clue and ask people every day what they're doing because you don't have any idea. But yeah, that's really good advice. And do you think in terms of prioritization for someone who wants to come to Germany, learning how to code would go higher than learning German?
Oh my God. I feel like I'm going to get a lot of hate for if I say, okay, you should prioritize learning how to code. But yeah, that would be my answer, to be honest. Yeah, for learning German, maybe is more effective if you have some basics and then you come here and you surround it by, you know, like every day, everyone's speaking German to you, then you pick it up faster. But yeah, it's maybe prioritize learn to code because, yeah, companies need people, tech talents and people who can code. So you can come here and then you can perfect your German later.
Sounds like a plan. As I mentioned earlier, I met you because I reached out to you because you had a YouTube channel. Maybe you can talk about, you know, your YouTube channel that you started.
Yeah, I have it's still weird to say that I have a YouTube channel now. And normally I don't really promote it a lot and it feels strange to say it now. But yeah, I feel like part of me creating videos on YouTube about tech, about careers in tech, and also like my life in Germany is just to like seeking out people who are, you know, like foreigners, but also living and working here in Germany, just kind of like, you know, have this sense of community and like, yeah, like sharing my experiences, because I don't want to be the only one living, you know, having these experiences. So kind of like you, you know, like we want to talk to people who are also foreigners, but also live and work in Germany or like live abroad, because yeah, we want to have this sense of shared experience.
And what's good is that, you know, people who might want to come here, you know, they can pick up some useful information, some useful tips, or maybe people who are in the same situation that you were in right after you got your first job and, you know, you were really thinking of whether or not to switch. So I think in the end, like, it becomes useful, you know, even if it's just one or two people who actually follow it and like do it, like, I think it's still something.
Yeah, those are the topics that I also talk in my on my channel. And it's really fun to hear like people's comment, like, oh, what about this? What about that? Thank you so much for like sharing this. It's really helpful. So that makes me really happy. And I just uploaded a new video today about comparing the German dream and the American dream.
Maybe we can talk about that on another episode.
But if you're interested, then feel free to check it out.
I'll be leaving the links in the description. Ang, thank you so much for your time. It was really a pleasure speaking to you again and, you know, getting your insights about your interesting life of moving to the US, to Germany, to follow a guy who you never who you didn't end up with, and then switching careers from that's like a really cool story.
Follow your heart.
Follow your heart, exactly.
Eventually it will work out. Eventually.
I really agree with that. Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Pop Your Cultural Cherry. You can listen to us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and other podcast streaming platforms. To be updated with our latest episodes, don't forget to give us a like and a follow on our Facebook page and our Instagram account.